Welcome to the Hilltop United Methodist Church podcast. Hilltop is located in Sandy, Utah, 985 East, 10,600 South. Locals would say 106th. Our two worship services are at 9 o'clock and 10:30. Hope to see you this Sunday. God bless. Bye-bye.
This morning's scripture reading is from the book of Exodus. The whole congregation of the Israelites set out from Elim, and Israel came to the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after they had departed from the land of Egypt. The whole congregation of the Israelites complained against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. The Israelites said to them, "If only we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots and ate our fill of bread. For you have brought us into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." Then the Lord said to Moses, "I am going to rain bread from heaven for you. Each day the people shall go out and gather enough for that day. In that way I will test them, whether they will follow my instruction or not. On the sixth day, when they prepare what they bring in, it will be twice as much as they gather on other days." So Moses and Aaron said to all the Israelites, "In the evening you shall know that it was the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt. And in the morning you shall see the glory of the Lord, because he has heard your complaining against the Lord. For what are we that you complain against us?" And Moses said, "When the Lord gives you meat to eat in the evening and your fill of bread in the morning, because the Lord has heard the complaining that you utter against him, what are we? Your complaining is not against us, but against the Lord."
The Exodus was a long reading, a very long reading, and Mike and I split it up. He took the first portion, which included a certain amount of complaining over the having brought them out into the desert. I'll come back to that a little bit on my sermon, but to be fair, to follow on with Laura's reflection, basic protein, basic carbohydrates, basic water is a need. It's you need that. It's a necessity. It's not a want. So they have some legitimate grievance that they have there. It seems like in some element of it, though, they have forgotten what God has just done for them. So that's maybe the negative critique that we offer there. I'm picking it up with Exodus 16, verses 9 through 18. I'm on page 63 of the Old Testament section of the Pew Bible. "Then Moses said to Aaron, 'Say to the whole congregation of the Israelites, draw near to the Lord, for he has heard your complaining.' And as Aaron spoke to the whole congregation of the Israelites, they looked toward the wilderness, and the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. The Lord spoke to Moses and said, 'I have heard the complaining of the Israelites. Say to them, at twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall have your fill of bread. Then you shall know that I am the Lord your God.' In the evening, quails came up and covered the camp. And in the morning, there was a layer of dew around the camp. When the layer of dew lifted, there on the surface of the wilderness was a fine, flaky substance, as fine as frost on the ground. When the Israelites saw it, they said to one another, 'What is it?' For they did not know what it was. Moses said to them, 'It is the bread that the Lord has given you to eat. This is what the Lord has commanded. Gather as much of it as each of you needs, an omer to a person according to the number of persons, all providing for those in their own tents.' The Israelites did so, some gathering more, some less. But when they measured it with an omer, those who gathered much had nothing over, and those who gathered little had no shortage. They gathered as much as each of them needed." This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Now, like I said when I was reading there, I want to be really fair to the Israelites. The idea of needing some meat, of needing some carbohydrates, and a little later, God will provide water in this, is an important necessity. It's a need of life. But I want to talk a little bit about the context of what's going on here, of where this all sits. The Israelites have left Egypt. They have left the place of slavery. They're wandering in the wilderness. The standard joke is, why did Moses take 40 years to find his way to the promised land? He was a male and he forgot, he was unwilling to ask for directions. But that's not what was going on. What was going on was is that the people were being formed in this wilderness experience. They were between slavery and freedom, and they needed to be able to grow and understand how God was going to provide. They sit between what has already happened and the not yet. God has more that God is going to provide. And they're in this wilderness, this place that upon surface examination, you would think that there's not a lot of stuff here. There's no Starbucks. There's no Einstein bagel shops. There's no McDonald's. There's no Burger King's. There's none of that there. But the reality is that God is going to provide even in this context. Even in this place of being in the wilderness, God is going to provide. But what do the people do at this particular moment? They wax back nostalgic to their memory of what life was like in Egypt. Was really life there so bad? Was it really so awful? At least we had food and meat and water. Of course, you're slaves. You're slaves. You're bonded to this the Nile River and all the things that are going on there, being asked to make bricks. Sometimes when you annoy the Pharaoh, even being asked to make bricks without clay. So your memory's flawed. Your memory's flawed of this nostalgia. And so it would be very appropriate, perhaps, for Aaron and Moses to get a little annoyed about this, but none of that seems to happen. God says, I have heard the complaining of the children of Israel, and I'm going to give them what they need in this wilderness place. God is going to give them quail, going to give them this thing called manna, it's bread-like, and later God will provide the water that they need in this wilderness location. It's important for us to remember that this manna, this quail, this water in this kind of context occurs out of a very particular zone of life. It's this in between slavery and freedom, in between what God has already done and the not yet, it's in this wilderness experience. This providing for God's children in the wilderness experience is not isolated to the Old Testament. Jesus in Mark, for example, will have two feeding miracles, one with 5,000, one 4,000. And both of them occur in a wilderness experience. The people are there with God between what God has already done and what God is yet to do, between slavery to whatever is enslaving them and the freedom that will come to them by the cross. They're there at that location in this in-between place, and what happens? God provides. And God and Jesus would go back and invoke the memory of this particular scene as he talks about this in the Gospel of John. In John 6, Jesus would say, our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness. As it is written, God gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus says, very truly I tell you, it was not Moses. Just in case anybody was curious, it wasn't Moses who provided that bread. It was God who provided that bread from heaven. God is who provides the very true bread from heaven. And then Jesus would go on and say, I am the bread of life. I am that bread of heaven. The promise that was made to the Israelites in the desert is now fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is this first fruit of the resurrection that Paul will talk about in Corinthians. He will tell us that it's the first fruit of the resurrection, and that we're all going to share in that fruit as well. So it's easy to criticize the Israelites here, but they are maturing. They are growing as a people. They are finding out that in this wilderness experience, they have to become unified through the testing that is going to go on here, this wilderness time. The message for us is that God provides. God provides in these moments where we're in these wilderness experiences, and we are able to have our needs addressed. The children of Israel would come up with a festival that would remind people that God has provided. It would be called the Festival of First Fruits. We sang about that in the anthem. It was mentioned in our prayer over the offering plates. It was the idea that in order to truly understand what God had done, how God had provided, before you could harvest any rest of the grain of the agricultural products, you had to come to God and offer to God gratitude for what God has done, for the first fruits that had been delivered. That's what first fruits were. And Jesus has been called the first fruits of the resurrection. We are invited, again by Paul, to recognize that we are to be like Christ in the world, first fruits of that resurrection, out in the change of understanding that we are called to help bring freedom and promise and the not yet to those that are out there that need God's love. We are invited to do that. The invitation for us is to see that in places in the wilderness, God invites us to not be anxious. Our needs will be met. Those needs will be covered. Those needs will be dealt with. The necessities of our life can be dealt with in this community. And it allows us to understand that the longer we hold on to things, what happens to the manna that is too much is harvested? It rots. It goes bad. And that's the invitation for us as we enter into this time of stewardship. How is it that we share back with God the first fruits of what we have been offered? There's a pretty standard illustration people offer for stewardship times. And I told Roberta, I don't like apples enough to do this. But sometimes what they'll do is they'll take 10 apples and set them out on the communion table. And then the preacher, while he's preaching the sermon, will pick up one of the apples and will keep biting off a chunk, biting off a chunk, biting off a chunk, biting off a chunk, until he's left with just the core, just the core. And we so much offer ourselves, offer our gifts back to God as like that apple scenario. We keep the 9 apples that God gave to us that are there for us, and we share back with God. Rather than the first fruit, this core, this partially eaten remnant of what it was that God has been given to us. We do that because we're anxious. We do that because we're convinced that God will not provide. God, the message for us is that God provides in this wilderness experience. God provides for us in this wilderness experience against our very needs. We could be like the children of Israel and say, "You brought me out here to do all this, but I've got to keep worshiping at this God called nostalgia, this golden calf called nostalgia, and remembering what it was there." And we'd be worshiping just as the children of Israel will worship at a false god. We'd be worshiping at a false god too. The message for today is that we have indeed been called into a wilderness experience by God, away from slavery towards freedom, away from what God has already done, and understanding that there's still this not yet that God has to do, and invited to know that in that wilderness experience, God will indeed provide. Let us be in an attitude of prayer. Gracious and loving God, we come into your church hoping that we will find a message of hope, a message of redemption. Sometimes we're scared and we're in a wilderness place. We're anxious and we're in a wilderness place. Remind us all that in this time together, in this place of safety, you will provide. And as we journey out into your world, you will provide for our needs. May we grow in our recognition that God is with us in all that we do. And all of God's children say,
Amen.
Welcome to the Hilltop United Methodist Church podcast. Hilltop is located in Sandy, Utah, 985 East, 10,600 South. Locals would say 106th. Our two worship services are at 9 o'clock and 10:30. Hope to see you this Sunday. God bless. Bye-bye.